if you saw what happened to Leeds when they've tried to be overambitious, he's living, strictly speaking, within his means. He's running it like a business and he's taking profit out of it.
You could have won a cup, but you decided to prioritise the Premier League as the main priority and play a bunch of inadequate players in the Carling Cup against Forest.
I'm going to give Rafa everything that the club generates. Okay, he's generated a lot of money this transfer window and the previous transfer window, and then he said he's got no money. But then he spends 90 million on a great signing called House of Fraser.
Hello and welcome to this week's Football Fans Podcast, the podcast that gives real football fans a voice on the sport that we love. My name is Jordan, your host even, and I'm joined this week on the pod by returning fans G and Akin. How are we doing, guys?
Very well. It's been a long time since we've
got tight schedules. I've got to move it on. Oh, we've got like a new guest.
just like that.
We've got to move it on, and we've got a first timer.
This is why I haven't been on. It's too big time now.
It's like, get past him, man. Just get straight.
It's too big time. What's he think he is?
That was rude. How are you, Akin? How are you?
I don't look. Move on. The moment's gone.
Cool. Clinton, our Newcastle fan. Clinton, how you doing, man?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
I'm very well. Very well. Thanks for coming on the pod, man.
No worries.
We're going to talk Newcastle talk a bit later on. Before we get into all those sorts of things, guys, I'm going to mention that we've got our first shootout, FFP shootout of the season, which will be out this week. I won't reveal the footballer, the ex-footballer we have on the shootout, but great interview, so look out for the FFP shootout where we speak to a former pro in a bit more depth. Less debate and more digging. We'll have a fantasy football league review later on as well. There's no games this weekend, obviously, but I want to find out how the guys in our FFP league are doing. Right, let's start.
Wild card.
Yeah, I saw you. You drew for the...
Not yet. Stop lying.
Wasn't you saying you were going to or something?
Oh, yeah, I was going.
Okay, yeah. I know you mentioned wildcard or something earlier.
Yeah, wildcard.
Let's do some drive-bys. G, let's start with you.
Yes, sir.
Do you think England are better off investing and preparing for this ball-playing midfielder that they say they need for the next couple of tournaments and really trying to find that guy that can get on the ball, keep the ball and dictate games? Or are they better off, in your view, trying to find another way of winning games?
Good question, Joy. That's a
thanks. First of the season.
First of the season. Yeah. I'm always on the belief that you have to play for your strengths to as much extent as possible. And if there isn't a ball playing midfielder that's available, then you have to play for the strengths of the team that you have available. Mm. I don't see where this ball player midfielder is going to come from. There isn't someone with a magic wand and is going to suddenly create someone. But or maybe the standards need to drop slightly in terms of the expectations of it. I think there are a few people who are coming through who could possibly fill that void, and maybe they should look lower down. I think I know a lot of people weren't too happy with when I mentioned Madison last week. I think England need to maybe look at the Championship as a realistic option to get players. There are better teams than England who have players playing that lower level football who still succeed, or teams that who do better in tournaments with lower level, you know, like Iceland in the last tournament. So why is it that we kind of have this snobbery? I think basically work to your strengths, but at the same time look further afield and not be so narrow minded in terms of where you can get your talent from.
Okay. Akin, your drive by. Mark Hughes's manager, the football's not nice anymore, don't produce any youngsters like they were for a little while, and they let their best players now go. What's the point in Southampton?
That's a bit harsh. Well, they have kind of fallen off the radar in the terms of, like you said, they used to produce, they had a conveyor belt of not only good footballers, good young footballers, they always were ahead of the game in terms of... I wouldn't say ahead of the game, rather, but always had a plan for who their manager would be. Now it does seem like they kind of fell into the trap of, we're desperate, let's go with the tried and tested of this pool of four Premier League managers who is a firefighter. Mm. And they're just living for the next game to stay up for this season and nothing more. So I guess they're epitomising what bothers me about the 14 other teams in the Premier League and how short term they are in how they kind of go about their business. And maybe there is a lot less point to them than there was. Having said that, I'm willing to be a bit patient. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They've earned 5 years of good grace, shall we say, in terms of how they run their football club.
So they've got some more credit in the bank.
They've got credit in the bank. Maybe this is just a short-term fix before they get back to
where they were,
what they were doing before.
Okay. Clinton, your first drive-by. Should Jose be given a bit more credit for Luke Shaw's apparent resurgence?
Oh, okay. I know. I hear you.
You can keep coughing over there.
Exactly.
I'm not allowed to say anything during that.
Keep sipping those drinks.
That's all right.
I think so. I think he, his management is obviously just a bit more old school in terms of, you know, just being a bit harsh, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's not shy and coming forward, is he? And obviously he's seen as getting the best out of him. So I think so. You know, maybe you could argue, is that the best way forward for him though? Because sometimes you might have players that need that arm around the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he does though.
His argument would be, I was tough on him and people said I bullied him. I was hard on him, you know, for a couple of years. But now you're seeing why, and he's come through it. And Luke Shaw's been quite and talking about how, you know, how he was glad that Jose treated him that way because he's kind of grown up a little bit. Others don't buy that and they just say he was being bullied and he's almost scared of Jose to say anything against him. Do you sit on the side of the fence that says the hard talking is justification for what we're seeing now, or could you've got what you've got now in a different way?
You could argue both sides of the coin. I mean,
what's your argument? No fence sitting on this pod.
Okay. I think I'm pro Jose.
Okay, so you think he should be given credit?
Yeah, of course. He's been there, done it, and, you know, Luke Shaw needed to get back in form. He's got back in form. He had to lose weight. He's got back into the England sides. So it just looks like it's worked. So, yeah, pro Jose.
If you get the camera on Akin to see how he's looking.
Listen, there was talk before we got on, and he's roasting me a bit, so, yeah.
I was just telling the truth.
Okay. Hang on, it's a drive-by. It's Clinton's question, so there can we go. Please?
He's already missed shots.
No interruptions. Right. Okay, let's have a very quick roundup of this week's Football Fantasy League. Akin, you've not been doing too well. Obviously, there were no games this weekend, International Week. But generally, Akin, it's not been going very well.
Go on, put me I've right. been all right. Yeah, I mean, other leagues
well,
too.
Well, I've got the league. Well, in our league here, the league that matters. You are... I'm scrolling down.
I've won one, lost three.
Down.
Yeah, you can scroll. Yeah.
Akin, you're 27th.
No, I'm...
What?
You're 27th, but that's out of... 60 odd teams.
Yeah, so top so third ish.
Almost. Almost. That's a third, you know. Wow.
Almost. Well, you know.
76 teams. So
I'm doing all right.
Mid table Mourinho over there. Yeah,
you're above, just above mid table, to
I'm
be fair.
I'm doing all right. Look, my accumulative points aren't too bad.
Okay.
But there's still work to do, and I will be drawing for the wild card. It's never too early. Hashtag never too early.
It kind of is, but whatever it is.
Never too early.
G, how are you doing? I'm just trying to find you.
Well, you know what? You asked me last week. Let's just skip past that.
It was a 40-something. You was in the 40s or something.
I think I was about 34.
Oh, so he's doing worse than me?
Yeah. You were like 42nd or something.
No. That's amazing.
I mean, if you're doing worse than Aki, and that's saying something. Clinton, do you play?
No.
You don't play?
No.
Is there a reason for you not playing?
I usually lose interest like halfway during the season.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Is there a guy from the two guys that do play, G and Akin, that is doing well for what? None of you doing well as a team, but is there a player that you're picking who's surprisingly doing well, or is someone you're looking to think about bringing in, or who's getting kicked out? Who have you been with for the first month?
Richarlison was a good... I don't know if it was a surprise, but he was doing well until he got sent off,
for
right?
The red card, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and then I had a choice of bringing, I think, Walcott in and someone else.
I brought Walcott in.
The someone else scored. I brought, guess who I brought in? I brought in Walcott. So you can see why I struggle in this thing. But yeah, again, to answer your question, yeah, there's nobody, but then you're asking the wrong guy because I don't have form in this.
You're right.
Yeah, I'm usually floating around relegation, so I'm the Newcastle fantasy football team.
We're not even there yet.
I'm struggling with Salah and whether to keep Salah in, man. He costs so much money.
He's expensive.
Second just not season put, syndrume,
isn't it? He's not putting the numbers up. I mean, he's got a couple of goals, but not worth what he's saying.
It's only his last game was really poor.
He's been in my team, yeah.
But he scored and assisted all the other three games.
He's got either an assist or a goal. goal in every game so far.
He's not got. He's not get stars next to him. You got to have the blue star, man.
That's true. For the money he costs. For the money he costs.
Listen, my team's been. I'm. Where am I in the league, by the way? I'm like third or something.
Third.
You're not third.
Third. No, third from bottom.
I'm 15th. I'm 15th. I'm 15th.
That's a big jump.
Third, you know.
Well, when you think of an 76 team league, that's pretty much. You know,
it's still not third.
Whatever. Is that what it's going to take now to get the message to him that he has to sell and pack up and go ASAP?
Well, the message from Mike Ashe at the moment is that he wants to sell. Whether he actually really wants to or not is a different story, because he keeps banging on about it. And I think Jamie Carragher summed it up quite well. Like, he said he's been wanting to sell for the past 7 or 8 years, but he's still not sold. It's like putting your house on the market for 7 or 8 years and not sold. Like, there must be something wrong.
No one's matched his bid. Or no one's matched his
valuation.
Or the other thing is, he doesn't really want to sell. And I've been looking at it from his point of view, which most Newcastle fans don't. It's like, why would you want to sell? You've got a club that's generating you loads of money, free advertising for all of your little babies and all the rest of it now, and you're getting loads of money in. Why would you want to sell that? Just because, what, some fans don't like you? He doesn't come to games. He doesn't live in the area. He's not attached to the club. He doesn't even support the club. He's a Tottenham fan. So why would you want to sell a club or a business that's making you money? So there's your argument right there. So us not going to the game, sorry, it's not really going to help the situation. It's just more going to hinder us, because Newcastle fans, even Newcastle fans that are from the area, they're more attached to the club than anything else. Do you know what I mean? That's their release. Like we all are. We're football fans. We're attached to the club. So regardless of how bad it gets, or if you want the manager out, etc., the only person it's going to hurt is yourself. It's not going to hurt the club.
But if you guys hate this guy and want him out as badly as us from the outside seem to see it, what else is going to work? It's either sacrifice going to a few home games to maybe get him out, or go to the home games, and I get why you want to go to the home games. It took Arsenal, my club, a lot before they stopped going and the attendance has dropped, and then the ball got the message. That's what it might take for you guys to get him out. Otherwise,
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but at the same time, the money's not going to hurt him. We already know that the TV money that comes in, the sponsorship deals and all the rest of it, makes up more than the gate receipts before, like 20 years ago. It might be the case. But us not going to games, so what, they're
not so much financially, but I mean the look of seeing, but you know, again, what I mean, a half empty.
He'll just see it as just more, like, more people looking at his club. Okay. Do you know what I mean? It'll be the cameras.
Bad publicity is good publicity.
Exactly, as the saying goes. So it doesn't really make a difference. The only way it's really going to hurt him is if, well, the only way to get him out of the club, should I say, is to get someone else in. And we was linked with this man, Stavely, didn't meet the asking price, which I still think is a con in itself. And that's it.
What, you don't believe her, you don't believe him?
I don't believe she was interested in the first place. Because again, I've seen loads of clubs been taken over since then, even championship clubs taken over since then. They put the money in, they match the offer, that's it. And again, if you're a business person coming into this situation, why wouldn't you? You've already got a fan base there, you've already got a team in the Premier League, you've already got a top manager. Yeah, so why wouldn't you want to take over?
So you do take Mark Ashley's side then?
No, don't.
Made the case for why he shouldn't sell the club.
Yeah.
I know why
he's not going to sell the club.
So you are on his side?
I want him out of the club.
So you are on his side?
No.
And there's nothing to question whether he genuinely wants to sell the club then?
Well,
nobody's matched his price.
He doesn't get interviewed by proper journalists. He gets interviewed by his friends in the media and has his...
Why does he need to be interviewed?
Because
he served your club brilliantly.
Come on, stop trying it, bro.
He took you out of financial...
He's got us relegated twice in the space of 11 years.
And brought you back up to us.
Before that, but we went down twice.
But you came back up to us.
But we went down twice. We have to come up after we go down. Look, do you know what I mean? We never went down.
He brought you in,
relegated
a top manager.
No, Rafa came to us and approached us.
In your words?
No.
You said he's a top manager. Mike Ashley delivered him. You made a case for why Mike Ashley shouldn't sell the club.
Yeah.
I agree with you. He shouldn't if this valuation hasn't been matched. Nobody's matched his price. So how can you now say you're not sure if he wants to sell it when nobody has actually put their money where their mouth is? But again, I have sympathy for him. I think Newcastle
fans...
You really
have sympathy for him?
I think Newcastle fans are some of the most unrealistic, self-entitled... I don't know, they're just a bit crazy.
See,
no offence to you personally.
No,
I don't
fine.
Understand where this comes from.
I hear this
you
all the time.
You had a little stint when Kevin Keegan was in there. Firstly, he took you lot over when you was in the, what we are called the Championship now. Back then it was Division One.
Yeah.
Yeah. He brought you up. You played some attractive football. You had a little moment for like 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That is it in your history. What, the Fairs Cup in 1960 something?
So, hang on. You're attacking me before we even
I'm not attacking.
No, but you kind of are. Do you think you're a big club, first of all?
No.
Okay, so
they're not even. They're a small club.
He's not saying that.
But I don't even know why they're annoyed with Mike Ashley. He's doing them as they should be done.
Well, no, I think they're annoyed, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think they're annoyed because as football fans, they don't see.
I don't know why they're annoyed.
He
Clinton said, yeah, that Mike Ashley. He's not sure if Mike Ashley actually wants to sell the club, but then at the same time, you also said, well, the closest people to buying the club, you don't think they were serious, and you can understand if his asking price hasn't been met, why should he sell?
Well, no one's going to.
So I don't understand.
Well, nobody knows if he really wants to sell it or not. He's just bluffing.
But his asking price hasn't been met, so we do know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do know he values it at this amount, which I think he's fair to. They're
do
in
we
the
know
Premier
what
League.
The valuation is?
I think it's around 400 or 350 or something.
I think it's 400 up front.
No, but the most that the closest came to was 300. It was like 50 million. That? Yeah.
It was a lot short.
According to the reports, as far as I know. Yeah.
That's what I'm
saying. But they were quite a bit short.
Well, that's we could all say it's
if
quite
they
a
had
bit
put
short.
The money down, it, we would
listen,
have finally found out for sure
if
he's serious.
If they were serious and he said, I want 400 million, if those bidders were serious, they'd have been...
If they put the 400 down, it's a Premier League club at the end of the day.
Listen, this is me said. I was literally saying this about 10 minutes ago.
And it has a good catchment area.
Yeah.
That's it. And it has a decent capacity
stadium.
Hang on,
before we get to the whole big thing.
No, but I'm saying why. I'm saying if they were so attractive... I can understand Mike Ashley's frustration. He's been trying to flog this dead horse for what? Five, six, 7 years.
No, you know it's not a dead horse at all.
I think it is.
It's not a dead horse.
No, tell a lie. It's not. It's not supposed to be. But why cannot he sell it? 52,000 seat stadium.
Yeah.
Good catchment area. I think that those are all the ticks that you've got.
Yeah.
But those ticks are good ticks.
Yeah.
Right? What's going on? You guys must not be the draw you think you are. I'm not even saying big club, medium size, whatever size club you think you are. Mm-hmm. You must not be the draw you think you are if you can't even sell that. He must be doing his head in. Like, what's going on?
Sam, let me bring in G. Let me bring in G.
He's not doing volunteer work. He's getting paid
G,
for this.
G, I know you're a big... You love Newcastle. Everyone knows you love Newcastle.
And on top of that, he's got some annoying wedding planner bothering him about, I need money for this, I need money for that, this, that and the other, blah, blah, blah. fact, whatever else.
That's a wedding planner, you know. Nah. So going back to the original question, what do you think it's going to take for these Newcastle fans, your kind of footballing brothers, you love them, what's it going to take for Newcastle fans to get their way?
Honestly, I don't think there is an option where they get what it would take. If the fans were actually to do something, it would have to be to get their money together.
Put their money together, put the 400 million down, consortium, boom.
And I think it'll probably take more than 400 million as well.
I do think
there's a bit of bluffing in terms of what he's doing in terms of selling. So they would have, that would what they need to do. They need to get their money together. It's funny because these guys are on totally different opposites, but I think they've got some good points as well. I don't think Ashley is doing as bad a job as it's made out. It's one of those things where he's not being ambitious, and I think in some cases if you saw what happened to Leeds when they've tried to be overambitious, he's living, strictly speaking, within his means. He's running it like a business, and he's taking profit out of it. I think most businesses
he's entitled to do that,
yeah. However, I can understand why fans will look at it and think, well, hold on.
You're doing the bare minimum.
You're not giving us anything.
Not even
you're
that.
Taking the soul out
of
our club.
Well. There's a lot of lies to it as well. Yeah. Like, the whole thing about, I'm going to give Rafa everything that the club generates. Okay, he's generated a lot of money this transfer window and the previous transfer window. And then he said he's got no money. But then he spends 90 million on a great signing called House of Fraser. So again, those sort of lies, the fact you can't lie to your public. That's not his money, because he's just come out and said he's got no money.
He could say what he likes.
He said he's got wallpaper money.
What he does in his own business life.
Did
he have nothing to do with
Newcastle?
Did
he mean maybe that Newcastle have no money?
Yeah. No, he said he's got no money.
His money is his money. Come on.
It's a wallpaper. He said he got no money, but yet he's got 90 million.
He can do what he likes with the
house. So let me ask about Rafa Benitez now, because you guys see, maybe not so much you, but a lot of Newcastle fans see him on the spell that Rafa's God and Mike Ashley is the devil. And I think Rafa, I said it before in this pod, I think slightly playing a lot of you fans.
He
well,
definitely
playing
is.
A very good game. Yes.
And he's a
and
guy,
he has done before.
If you want your clubs. Money wasted, he's a, him and Harry Redknapp are two guys.
He's up now.
Him and Harry Redknapp are two guys.
Let me take you down off that perch.
Piss money up the wall.
Let me take you
faster than anybody else.
Because you've had a few money wasters in your time. Yeah, Mourinho,
Benitez,
Moyes,
and Harry Redknapp.
Yeah, what?
Okay,
you
okay.
Hear
okay.
Me?
This is a Newcastle discussion. my point was going to be with Benitez. He's got a very good track record of trophies that he's won across his career.
Thank you.
I'm dying in here, guys, because this sweat is killing me now. He's got a good track record of throughout his career, but it's the brand of football, and you guys want to cling on to him because he's the best you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Is the football that he's bringing, though, worth keeping him there for? So he's got this big name manager, world class manager, all that stuff.
No,
but is
the
football.
Whoa.
All right.
No, you said world class manager.
Okay. Jordan, for the sake of this question, a top manager. Okay?
Top.
He's won a Champions League, man. Come on.
Whoa.
You can't take that away from
him. And then UEFA Cup. Anyway.
All right, Ranieri won the Premier League. What do we call him? World class?
No, that's one top trophy. Man. This guy's won multiple top trophies.
He won one Champions League, though, isn't
he? He's won two titles in La Liga. Anyway, we're not
2001 going and 2004.
But the point I'm making is the brand of football.
It's in his orange
the brand of football that he brings with those credentials and those titles, is it worth it to watch week in, week out?
I must admit, and this is not me being a Benitez hater, his style of football gets a bit boring sometimes. I'm not going to lie.
Sometimes.
But
yeah, I mean, a bit. When is it exciting?
Sometimes.
Hold on. Before you jump in. But it's what he's got to work with. Let's face it.
But he's got everywhere
he's
been.
Listen, I watched him, and yeah, I have to watch a fourth choice Stoke striker leading the line for us. So again, he hasn't got Torres,
Clinton.
Gerrard,
when
and
he
Alonso.
Did,
and
they were boring.
Clinton, you drew 0-0 with Cardiff.
Yes, I know. I was there.
When
I
Benitez
was, there.
Was at Liverpool, they were boring and negative. When he was at your lot, they were boring.
So the
and
point
negative.
We're going to discuss a bit more depth across football later on in the pod. But I'm trying to get to the point of, for this guy that is so great, is it worth it? Basically, because he's not. If he might get you relegated, another guy, for example. But the football week in week out might be a bit more entertaining and enjoyable. You can't be enjoying the football you're seeing at Newcastle every other week at St James's Park. So is it really worth it?
Of course it's worth it, man. Of course.
For what? Listen, stay in the league?
No, come on.
Just to stay in the league?
Just to stay in the league. Come on, listen. We're not just here just to make up numbers.
But I think
but
you,
that's
are.
What you are.
We're not.
You don't go for cups. Yeah. You don't play good football.
Because we haven't
don't
got
buy
a squad.
Anyone exciting.
We haven't got a squad. Listen.
He's the kind of guy.
Hold on, let him finish,
man.
I'm going to the game.
He was trying to flog Xabi Alonso.
Let me finish.
That's when he had money.
Listen.
Sorry.
All right, chill. Right, so take Nottingham Forest, for example, where we played them in the cup, whatever, Carabao Cup. We fielded like the weakest of teams, like the weakest team that I've ever seen Benitez play, because we haven't got the squad. So, yes, we do need better players and we need more money in terms of that. Can we... like challenge? No, of course we can't challenge. We're light years behind all of them people. But yes, we do need.
Well, define money. Challenge. Can't you win? You can win a cup.
Well, again, we still need players. But that's what I'm saying.
No, but can I?
We need better players. We need better standard of players. We can't.
Why?
Just keep
why
penny,
do they have to?
Whoa! We can't keep penny pinching and going. Look.
So hang on. Do you have a squad good enough to win the League Cup?
No.
To get to the semi-final of the League Cup?
No.
Your squad can't get to the semi-final of the League Cup.
Well,
considering that the Prem teams come in late.
Liverpool won the Champions League. Anything can happen. Yeah? In a cup competition, you can do anything. And why is it that managers of clubs of that level feel they're big enough to rotate in the Carling Cup?
We're rotating because the
what? Because you played three or four games and you're knackered?
No. Because as a Premier League manager with this squad, the idea is to stay in the league first. That's priority. And then everything else is like...
Okay, this is my point. Listen, what's the point if the football's boring? What's the point of staying in the league if the football is dry?
What, so we should just give up there and just...
No, I'm asking, is as a Newcastle fan, would you not rather see your manager and your team going for it, playing some good football with the risk of going down, rather than the security of staying in the league in 12th, 13th, 14th, and every single week playing dull football?
I think your squad's better than 18% possession against us. I think your squad could do better than that.
Just shots left, right,
and that was at home.
I'm honestly saying.
Yeah, if we went toe to toe with you guys,
yeah, yeah, we would have got thumbs up.
But you lost the game anyway.
You could have used some kind of tactics that were less negative than that.
Yeah, Bournemouth didn't go toe to toe, but they had more than 18%
possession. You know what?
They lost in the end, yeah.
Exactly.
I saw the Jews.
But we didn't want to go and get some top. We had no, but you know what? No Shelby,
but
no Kennedy.
But hang on, isn't that concerning though, as a fan? Isn't that concerning that you're at the point now where losing 2-1 is that much better than losing 4-0?
Losing 2-0.
This is the thing. This is the thing I was going to get back to as well in terms of reality. We know we're not a big squad at all. So the whole concept of people thinking, oh, Newcastle fans think they're entitled is a myth. And that annoys me and annoys other Newcastle fans as well. We are in reality that we haven't got a big squad. Mm. The quality of the squad's not that great. So again, we need to, again, live within our means. When we play lesser teams in the League Cup, we still need to put out a rubbish team. And when we play big teams like yourself, we do need to think, you know what, if we lose, let's only lose by one, because it does come down to goal difference. This is what we're in. This is what we're in. We can't go toe-to-toe Man City,
Benitez,
Chelsea, and think we can get
tons up. You're comfortable with how things are.
I don't like it at all, but again, this is the reality.
He's fully brainwashed him.
No, not at all. I'm 30 plus, yeah? I've come from the Kevin Keegan era when we were pipping thumping up teams to this. So, of course, I've seen the good times and I've seen this. In terms of looking at the football, it's not great. I know that. Newcastle fans know that as well. But again, A, we can't attract anything better than Benitez. So, yes, we're going to be grateful that he's here. And B, the quality of play is not that good as well. So, again, this is the reality that we're in, guys.
Alan Pardew's football at Newcastle was better than Benitez.
But Alan Pardew, no. Let me jump in right there. Alan Pardew had Demba Ba,
and he's awful.
Papi Cisse, Hatem Ben Arfa, Kabai Tioti in the middle of the park.
He had slightly better players, granted.
Slightly. But isn't
the point intent? He took a lot of L's, but he went for games.
He tried to win games. He had those players. If you gave those players to Rafa Benitez,
at Crystal Palace, Crystal Palace's squad wasn't great, and he tried to. You know what I mean?
They had Zaha and all. Come on, man.
Look, I take issue with.
Best players are lone players from you and Pippin. That's what I'm saying. That's our best players. They're not even ours.
That is quite bad.
We've got a part-time number nine. We've not even got a full-time number nine. Come on,
why
man.
Is it that
even,
you could right, disrespect trophies? Right. You could have played a better team against Nottingham Forest. Or and even so,
okay, all right,
it's Nottingham Forest.
League, all right, let's
under 21 should
let's, 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 hang on, hang on, hang on. Let's wrap it up with the final thing. You've got my mob, Arsenal, on the weekend.
Oh, God.
Is that a game where you're wanting your team to try and go for it? Do you expect your
where
team?
Where is it?
I believe so it's at their ground. Yeah. So is that a game?
18%, 18-25% possession, one shot.
If the same thing happens against Chelsea,
I got to kill you all off, bro. Listen, last season we beat you at our ground. And you did. Hush him out, Ollie.
What?
Nah. You can go about your 18%.
Haven't won the league since any of us were born.
We gave you all gunshots there. No.
All right.
Whose parents were born? Let's when you last won anything.
Listen, last season, you were there, right?
Whose parents were born the last time you won a trophy?
Let's move forward. Let's wrap it up. Let's move forward, guys. Right.
All right.
So. Let's
my dad was alone.
I've got to move on, guys. I got to move forward. Let's move forward. Right, I want to talk now, guys. I want to talk now about trophies and football. So this kind of Newcastle kind of relevant to this debate as well.
Oh, jeez.
I'll start with you, G, on this one.
Yeah, I'm still cracking up.
And I'm sweating, so it's not even good for me to laugh.
I feel like that guy at the what's that video? Gangster's Paradise video. It's been in remember that black guy?
He's sweating, he's rubbing his face off. It's hot in here for real. As a football fan, are you? What is more important to you as a football fan? Your manager tries to bring good football, entertain you every single week, and leave you leaving the game feeling good about what you just saw and paid for, or is sport, is competition, does winning trump everything else?
I think it depends on what stage your club is at. I know when Roman first came in, for me, winning was what gave me the happiness. even if the football wasn't as good, after seeing your boys win trophies year after year, mm-hmm. and you being the laughing stock, winning brought me happiness. Now, I accept that we're probably not going to win every year, but I would like to see us be a bit more entertaining. I would like to see us be a bit more on the front foot. There have been times where there's only so many times you can win and be satisfied with just trying to win the dirty way or the hard way. It does get a bit frustrating sometimes. It does take the joy out of football. Like, there used to be times when I used to look forward to Champions League away games, to be swashbuckling, to try and get the away goal. Mm-hmm. And now everyone just wants to come deep and make it a boring game. So in that sense, I can say that. But I can say that now looking back. I'm sure going back to the Newcastle debate, I'm sure, not taking shots, but I'm sure if you could take it, a Premier League title by the end of the day, well, you'd probably take it now, wouldn't you? Mm. But then after a while, I think you kind of get to a point where you wouldn't, and you want to progress in a different way. Mm. So I just think it depends on what stage your club is at and how they develop. But I'd say overall, the end game should always be to try to mix winning with entertainment.
I think this is relevant for all the clubs we support, in particular United as well, Akin, and that your club, you're the biggest club in the country. You know, you've got a tradition of winning trophies and winning trophies in a way that pleases United fans. That hasn't happened since Ferguson left. What for you? I mean, my personal view is of big clubs like United, it shouldn't be either or. But if you exactly. had to pick, what's more as a football fan important to you? Winning, and even if it's the dead way, the Mourinho way, is that for you paramount? When you're a big club, you've got to win. Or is it like, okay, I want to see some good football, even if it means we miss out?
Look, I might annoy you with this, but we are Manchester United. We are the biggest club on the planet. You did say it shouldn't be either or. We should be doing it, and we should be doing it in the best way. Having said that, there are times when you need to be smart, but letting people know you're better than them, not arrogant, just better. Yeah, sometimes
that's not open at all, is it?
Sometimes it just needs to be done. You got to go toe to toe with the big boys. It's like sometimes you get into the Champions League, people will start saying, "Oh, I hope we play these lot so we can avoid those lot." And no, I want to play the big boys at every stage and beat them at their own game. Now, it's not always possible, but at the same time, it's important that people do this for the viewers watch football for entertainment. You go to games for entertainment to escape the harshness of reality, to escape spreadsheets, economics, whatever you do, and to be entertained, to see men versus men in sport.
All women
versus women in sporting combat, in honest competition. And that has to be held up. Football is changing now, and it just seems all economics and I don't know, it's lost, maybe I'm getting older, I don't know, but it's lost the romance. But it's very important that it's toe-to-toe, man versus man, competition, entertainment. For me, that's it. So and winning.
So is it? So what's pissing you off as a United fan more? The fact that you're not even really competing?
It's horrible to watch.
It's the fact that it's...
It's horrible to watch. And whilst it's horrible to watch, we're not even competing for anything. To add to that, I'm not seeing players getting better.
So hang on. Stick to the main 2 points. So it's pissing you off more that you're just horrible to watch. Not that you're not competing for the league. It's that you're horrible to watch. That's the bigger
it's
gripe.
It's pissing me off more that we're horrible to watch. I mean, there was a time when I was falling asleep during every single game. Like, not even... If I wanted to fall asleep, let me watch my team play. Like, that's how bad it was getting at a certain point.
And he just got up as well.
You know what I mean? Sometimes it will be an early kickoff.
And just woke up.
Yeah. No, seriously. It's okay. Like, come on. And it's such a... sport is meant to... Person versus person.
So hang on.
Who's better?
So hang on. Let me bring in Clint.
And let me do it in the biggest way.
So on that point, is sport now more about... Is it competition still for you, Clinton? Or is it about entertainment?
Well, we already discussed that in the previous point. Entertainment's really gone out the window, isn't it? So,
but has it? And should it?
For us,
for
anyway.
You, yeah.
Yeah. No, all right, in general. Of course it should be a mixture of both, shouldn't it? You know, you're
in an ideal world, yes, but not everyone can do that. So I'm trying to ascertain individually what of the two is more important. What gives you more pleasure? Seeing your team lifting trophies.
My dad saw it. I'm my mum. They were born in the 50s.
Lifting trophies.
Yeah.
Or... because I spoke to a lot of Liverpool fans and Tottenham fans last season. Jackie Milburn. And they were talking about, allow it, man. And they were talking about the fact that despite no trophies, they love watching their team every single week. Liverpool fans are loving their team every week. And I got a bit jealous because it feels good when you watch your team every week. Or even before the game, knowing win, lose or draw, I'm going to enjoy this game. Mm. I paid my money and I'm going to enjoy the 90 minutes. We might lose, but enjoy.
You're going to see something you could talk about.
Exactly, exactly. True. That trump winning for you?
No, because it's silverware is always the go-to thing, innit? Always in an argument. No.
Even the Rafa way.
Obviously not in my situation. No, I'm talking about it in general.
Ignore it.
It's fine. It's cool. Because I get it all the time, bro. I'm that guy, innit? But in terms of, yeah, silverware is just always the go-to thing. It's like, whenever you argue with your mates on WhatsApp or whatever, they always go back to, well, we did this in 1996. You seem like that guy. So that's the go-to thing. So you take that. Come on.
You came second in 1996.
That's burning him, isn't it? That's still burning him.
We didn't even win anything in 1996. That's just a random number. But again, it's the go-to thing, isn't it? It's just for bragging rights, isn't it?
And George, you mentioned those Liverpool fans, but at the end of the day, they're the first ones, if they start winning, they'll start saying, oh, we've won it seven times.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Istanbul, 2005, blah, blah, blah. They're the first ones to talk that crap, you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Interesting. Okay.
No, but I think you hit the nail on the head, though. When you become a super club, it's not a choice. Both should be a guarantee. And that's what really bothers me about my club at the moment and the guy that's running things.
You're not getting either.
Yeah. Pulis, he's not giving us anything. He prioritises one thing, but he's not even delivering on that. Portuguese Pulis. So when you're a certain club of a certain level, then I think Gable was right and you were right as well in that, okay, there's a point where you're desperate, you just take anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. Cool. Yeah. And there's a point where you get past that. Cool, you're a teenager and you want to spread your wings. You know, so I do get it.
But
at the same time, when you're Man United, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, certain clubs, we win and we beat you at your own game on your patch in the best way. You know, there's a certain level.
But
are
you keeping that same energy when Mourinho was giving the whole freeze and stuff? Were you saying that, you know what?
You were glad of the UEFA Cup trophy. You were glad that you won it. You were celebrating that.
Don't say I was celebrating. I was happy. Hold on.
What, did you give it a mild clap?
It was a mild clap.
A mild clap?
Of course it's a mild clap.
Right.
Because it's a trophy. I don't disrespect trophies. That's why I really dislike clubs like yours, because you turn your nose up at the Carling Cup and everything, but how dare you when you haven't won anything since Black and White TV?
We would want
ridiculous.
To. Are you mad?
No, you don't know. But anyway, listen. Coming back to what I'm saying, I don't disrespect trophies. Trophy is a trophy. Carling Cup, UEFA Cup, whatever, it's a trophy. But when it's certain level of trophy, it's like, okay, good, keep it moving. When it's other trophies, you celebrate. Mm. Don't ever say I celebrated the UEFA Cup. You know I didn't. It was a mild clap, and it wasn't free trophies. Charity Shield is not a trophy.
Well, Mourinho's giving it free. I'm sure I counted
free. What's it got to do with me? Don't.
He's your boy.
It's not a boy.
He's his boy.
It's G's boy.
He's representing your club.
Nah, he's representing your club still. And you.
So just finally, G.
He's on your payroll, mate.
Pep Guardiola seems to be the only guy that kind of combining both. Good football to watch, and he's winning trophies. Is he basically the example that says the only way you can get the two of them is spending big money? Or is it possible to be a team like Newcastle, lower down the league, and in relative terms have success? Can Newcastle get eighth and play good football? Or is it an either or unless you're going to spend mad money?
Can I come in after G?
Maybe. Let's just.
It doesn't have to be an either or. I think there are a lot of, and the thing is, success is always relative to your club. I think there's a lot of, I mean, Tottenham haven't won anything in 30 years, but what this recent period is success for them, and they've done it playing good football.
They won the Carling Cup in 2008.
One trophy in 30 years.
I know, FA Cup in like 90 or 91 or something. Yeah.
But for them,
so they're more prolific than some.
It was lining up for his other shot.
GT'd up in real life.
But for them, they would say this is a successful era. I'm sure Liverpool are looking at, even though they haven't won anything yet, they're looking at this as a building towards a successful era. Success doesn't have to just mean with trophies.
It's a process as well, Jordan. That's something I want to say. People just think it's a now thing, and it's not. Also, they're spending money and they're squad building. Now, Portuguese Pulis has spent money. The Dutch guy before him spent money. They weren't squad building. Guardiola built a squad. he brought players of the right age in the right positions to play the football he wanted. Klopp is building a squad. Whether we want to accept it or not, whether people like him or not, he's building a squad to fulfil the purpose he wants to deliver. So they're spending money, pissing up the wall. Benitez likes to piss up money up the wall. They're building a squad. You can build a squad at Bournemouth.
I was going to mention Bournemouth as an example.
The net spend of Spurs, I think, is about the same as Newcastle.
No, it's not,
you know?
Bruv. Don't try it, bruv.
Honestly.
Are you finance, bro?
No, no, seriously.
Are you finance,
Tottenham's net spend in the transfer market is very low.
Okay.
There's building a squad and there's spending money.
So let me ask you, Clinton.
In a smart way.
Is a team like Bournemouth an example of the process he's Akin's talking about? He's been there in the Premier League 3 or 4 years now. They're pretty much an established Premier League team. They've been there 3 or 4 years. The football, they would say, you know, for a small club, is pretty good. It's not dire football to watch at Bournemouth.
No, not at all.
So are they an example in terms of relative terms? They're doing what Pep's doing. Success for them is finishing.
But they're in 11th, a process. 12th.
Yeah.
They're in a process.
And the football isn't bad to watch. Are they an example of where you can get both? Success and good football.
That's true. But again, Bournemouth is when we're going back to the Ashley debate, this is the sort of clubs that we want to be in and around, you know? Bournemouth have like a quarter of our fan base. They go out and spend 25 million on a Lerma, whereas we've made profit in this window. We made like 25 million profit.
Do you think you finished above Bournemouth last year though?
Maybe just.
Yeah. But again, we're talking about this.
But he's talking
here.
About the kind of club they aspire to be. So.
Do you know what I mean? No, he's not even. That's not even a
diss
to me.
That's what he said. Yeah.
That's not even a diss to me. Because again, the teams that have come up, two of the three teams that have come up, have spent more than us as well.
But aspiring to be shouldn't just be based on what you spent. Come on, man. Like,
but again, they're showing ambition.
Yeah, but is it showing ambition, though? It's spending money. That's a term that bothers me as well. Just because they spent money, they're showing ambition. No, they could just be idiots. Portsmouth weren't showing ambition, they were just idiots.
So they won a cup.
They were idiots, though.
They won a cup.
Where are they now?
We won a cup.
You could have won a cup, but you decided to prioritise the Premier League as the main priority and play a bunch of inadequate players in the Carling Cup against Forest. So you can say they won a cup. It's all how you look at things. Ambition doesn't necessarily equate to spending money. You can show ambition by building a squad. Even what Spurs did in the summer.
Well, we're not doing
they
either.
They were criticised.
We're not doing either.
Yeah, because you probably don't have the right people in management.
Of course.
Including Benitez. I don't rate him. But in any case.
Bro.
Yeah, it is. But in any case, Spurs could be seen as showing ambition over what they've done over the last 5 years in how they've developed their players, in the type of players they've gone for, in the type of football they're playing. Just because they haven't spent money, people will say, they're not showing ambition.
So, to have a bit of a Spanish roundup, we're going to bring in our regular Spanish football expert, Ben Hayward. How you doing, Ben?
I'm good, thanks. You?
I'm very good, mate. Very good. Thanks for coming on the pod once again. Guys, jump in as and when you feel you need to. Let's start, Ben, with the 2-1 win against England on the weekend. What's the reaction been amongst the fans back in Spain to that victory?
Yeah, you know, I think pretty positive, actually, Jordan. You know, it was a bit of a change of style from Spain. I thought we saw some changes from how we, you know, usually expect Spain to play. I thought they were a bit more direct, aggressive, you know, pressing high, just like Luis Enrique wants. And obviously they've lost Andres Iniesta to retirement, David Silva as well, Piqué. So it always was going to be a little bit different. And, you know, I think at least everybody I've spoken to over here and looking at the media reports, everybody considers it to be quite a big thing, you know, winning at Wembley. So, pretty positive so far.
Are people excited by Luis Enrique as the manager? Was this Spain's first game since the World Cup? Have they played any games before this? Or was this the first game post-World Cup?
Yeah, it was the first game under Luis Enrique. Yeah, he was announced just before the end of the World Cup, obviously with Spain already out, and unveiled in July 19th, just after the tournament. This was their first game. And yeah, there's been a lot of expectation. You know, he's an interesting character. He's had problems with the media in the past. He's considered to be something of an anti-Madridista, you know, because of his going back to his playing days, leaving Real Madrid to join Barcelona and then being Barcelona coach. But yeah, I think everyone's considered it to be pretty positive so far. Obviously, with Jordi Alba, the one big story perhaps, being left out of the squad altogether. Those two didn't end on very good terms when they were at Barcelona, but Jordi Alba is still good enough to be you know, part of this squad, if not the team itself. So that's probably the one thing maybe that's negative.
Ben, why does David De Gea seem to be struggling with Spain? And are the Spanish, I don't know, are the Spanish concerned about his dip in form at club level as well?
Yeah, I think there was definitely concern at the World Cup when, you know, he barely made a save. Virtually everything that was shot at him went in. Mm-hmm. And people were baffled by that because obviously he was absolutely brilliant last season for Manchester United. Obviously, you know, for Spain, he's playing in a very different style of team than he is at Manchester United. Perhaps he's left a little bit more exposed by Spain playing a high defensive line. I'm not really sure what it is, but obviously Luis Enrique came out big and after the game and said, you know, he's the best goalkeeper in the world and he has our support. And he made some good saves at Wembley, which will do his confidence a world of good. You know, Luis Enrique didn't want to talk before the game about which goalkeeper would be his number one, but clearly it's going to be De Gea.
I was going to ask Ben, who is the number two, and is there any possibility that in the next 12 months, if his form continues in this way, he could drop to number two?
Well, the number two, Jordan, is Kepa, who obviously just signed for Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, hugely talented, but very, very young as well. And I think he's considered to be the goalkeeper of the future, but he's only 23 years old. So I think at the moment, it's De Gea's place to keep. I don't think we're going to see a change anytime soon. Luis Enrique was emphatic, you know, calling him the best in the world. Other players came out and said, you know, De Gea saved us at Wembley. So I think that's put that one to bed, at least for the time being, at least until the next mistake, shall we say.
yeah, for real. Go on, G.
I was going to say, is there a concern about Spain's ability to kill off teams? I've always kind of felt they could be pretty on the eye, but only with a few players who can kind of make that killer instinct. I'm not sure about Diego Costa in a Spain team. I haven't really seen it come off. And even in this last game at Wembley, 2-1 up, a few chances to kind of go 3-1 up and could have lost it, like, and really should have drawn the game. Mm. Is there that concern in Spain about the ability to kind of put teams to bed and make sure the result is attained?
Yeah, I think so. It's funny, you know, all through the period of Spain's, you know, great success through 2008 to 2012, you know, they had the same problem, really. They were a great team, but, you know, go back to the World Cup in 2010, they were winning games 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, you know, all the way through the knockouts and into the final as well, you know, based on a strong defence. But they weren't really thrashing teams. And the same in the Euros. Obviously, they beat Italy 4-0 in the final, but the rest of the tournament, the games were pretty close. And, I think there is perhaps a slight concern, but you know, maybe you know, Luis Enrique is probably a positive appointment in that respect. You know, when he was at Barcelona, he was seen as a guy who could get Barca to win ugly when they needed to, which is something that never really happened before. You know, Barcelona were always the team that had to play brilliant football to win their matches, you know, going through the Guardiola era and even before that. Whereas with Luis Enrique, they got to be a little bit more streetwise. I think, you know, he can offer something similar to Spain. So, it's a concern, but, you know, international football games tend to be tight anyway. So, as long as they're winning, I don't think it's a big problem at the moment.
Should do what we do and put Marcos Alonso up front, and then you'll always be all right.
Yeah, he's got a lot of goals in him. Ben, just going to rattle through just a few more points, just kind of La Liga bits and pieces. First of all, Thibaut Courtois, how's he started? Tell us about Vitor Junior and the fallout from the biting situation. Atletico, my tip to win the La Liga, how they started and the fallout from the game being taken from America to, Spain to America from the fans' point of view. Starting with Thibaut Courtois.
Starting with Courtois, well, he's only played one game so far, Jordan.
Okay.
he had been sat on the bench for the first two league games, and it looked like he might stay there a little bit longer. You know, Lopetegui had said that there were going to be chances, you know, for Navas and for Courtois as well. And, I just get the feeling that the president might have had a word. It was the end of the transfer window. And, Florentino Perez, when Mariano was presented a couple of days before, was bigging up Real Madrid's summer signings. And, you know, probably a little bit frustrated that none of them had actually played. See, Audrey Osorio is injured at the moment. Vinicius, you mentioned, is out in the B team. Mariano hasn't, had just arrived. So, Courtois played. He was fine. He was comfortable. It was a 4-1 win. The only goal he conceded was a penalty. Couldn't do too much about that. And, it was an accomplished debut, but he didn't really have too much to do, to be quite honest.
And the fallout from the Vinicius Junior, is that how you pronounce his name?
Vinicius Junior.
What's been the fallout there?
Well, I think there's some concern at Real Madrid that, once you go down the leagues a little bit, that the football is a little bit more ragged, challenges are a little bit more violent, and that he, biting is still unexpected. But there is concern that he could be on the end of a rash challenge or a malicious challenge, shall we say, because he's got that Brazilian skill, that ability to beat players and maybe wind players up a bit like we see with Neymar. So there's been talk here in Madrid that he'll only play in the home games and not travel to the away games for the B team. So we'll have to see whether that happens or not.
Okay, and just finally on the fallout from the have they decided on the game yet? They're going to take it to America, because I thought it was Barca versus Betis, but I heard they've changed that now. Is that correct?
Yes. Originally it was supposed to be Betis Barcelona, but now it looks like it's going to be Girona against Barcelona, and it looks increasingly like it's going to happen. You had even Sergio Busquets in the press conference today, ahead of the game against Croatia, saying that the players aren't necessarily against it. But they want the conditions to be right. And that shows to me that they're kind of coming round to the idea. And I think eventually there'll be negotiations and they're going to end up travelling. I think the game will probably be played. But, certainly can't please everyone. Girona put out a statement saying that they would be willing to accept the fixture. I mean, they're a club with a 14,000-15,000 seater stadium. Economically, financially, they could perhaps benefit from a game like this one. So I think it's going to happen. It's not going to be popular with perhaps the rest of the league, and last time we spoke, all of those still things that we talked about still apply. The fact that it's not really fair for the rest of the competition, it takes a home game away from Girona and all of those things. But yeah, it looks increasingly like it's going to happen, and it's going to be Girona against Barcelona, a Catalan derby. So, interesting one.
Wicked. Ben, cheers for your time, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jordan.
Cheers,
take care.
Cheers, pal. Take care. Okay, so let me just wrap up now by thanking our guests, Akin G and First Time Clinton. Cheers for coming on the pod this week, Clinton.
Thank you very much.
I feel a bit bad for Clinton, man. You let the wolves on them.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Nah, mate. Clinton can take it, man.
I've heard it all before.
just briefly on Newcastle, what is the expectation this season? What is a good season for Newcastle United?
20% possession?
Oh, jeez. You talk about me digging them out and you finish off with
that. Keep going. It's fine. Now, realistically, it's survival, isn't it? Really? We finished 10th.
What kind of way is that to live?
Just let the man finish. We're wrapping up.
It's the way we've got to do, Rob. We haven't got Mourinho money where we're just wasting money. Do you know what I'm saying? So we have to survive in what we've got. So, yeah.
Jesus, doesn't relate anyway.
So as long as you stay up, that's a good seat. That's good.
That is it.
Fair enough.
Good effort.
You got a handshake there. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, guys. We're on iTunes, Football Fans Podcast. We're also on Spotify. Follow us on Twitter, FFP_11, Instagram, Facebook, all the socials. Until next week, peace.